Greetings, fellow investigators, and welcome back to our video podcast, Into the Darkness, where my friends and I play the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. I'm your host, Tom Rayleigh. Our scenario is entitled Bird's Head, and this is episode 8. It was written by Mick Swan, who is also our game master. And the recap will be given by Thomas McKeon. Now, it seems to me that one of the three witches told Macbeth that he had nothing to fear until he saw the woods come marching to him. Well, that seems to be happening to us, though not in the way it happened to him. So, with that said, the players are ready. Let's begin our journey into the darkness. Tom?
Thanks, Tom. When they said the jungle would be coming down on us, I never expected this. Walking trees. We've spotted about 4 of them by now, I think. One we've managed to down and bag. The others, well, they're bigger, and they're definitely moving towards us. After surviving the battle with the first creature, we continued our way up the hill. I told them we got what we came for, and that we could leave. Instead, we move forward. It's a stupid idea. But a lot of us know what we're here for, what the plan is. As we moved into a clearing, we came across a body. It looked like it'd probably been there for about a week, if I had to guess. But what surprised the group was that it looked like the person had banged his head up against the tree, and that's what killed him. A theory for now, but it's the only theory we've got at the moment. But the real kicker was that at the top of a cliff hidden in the jungle was what I'd hoped we'd find. Shimmering temple hidden away from society. Who knows what could be discovered up there? After having a nice little chat with Pijo, I know what we have to do. The group's decided it's the temple or bust, but there's more of those things now. They seem to be following us. We've lost several bears, but we're not running out of ammo anytime soon. And now that I write this down, I remember the colonel said something back during the raid on our little town down south during the war. He said, "Arthur, enough guns can solve any problem." That's where we're ending that.
So I have a quick question for the GM. Observing these tree creatures moving, are they, now this is, I'm going to use a reference outside the game, but are they moving like the Triffids in the movie? They sort of drag themselves forward inch by inch.
And yeah, they're moving quite slowly. They're well, sort of, they're what we would probably describe as roots.
Also undulating.
Like one of these things.
I got an idea, Arthur. What do you think? What do you think if we took a couple of sturdy ropes and created a kind of barrier about yay high across the path that when they get to it, they can't really move forward? Their roots will try to move them forward, but their tops, they got to be somewhat top heavy.
I'm hoping they just don't have
that they either
some way
fall
of
over.
Seeing or sensing or...
Well, what about fire?
Why don't we just burn them?
I was thinking like a torch.
Brush is going to light the whole place on fire.
No. I think a torch is probably a good idea because most of this jungle is dripping wet. It ain't going to light on fire. But it might also be very hard to get one of those things to light on fire if it's very wet.
Well, no, I was thinking like getting like a dry piece of cloth that we have or a old piece of clothing, grab like a stick and maybe put some little oil or whatever we have, and then
we have the gas canister.
Yeah, I suppose an inflammable substance on that tree is going to burn it.
Yeah, but if you remember, the bark was metalish. I don't think that's going to light.
Well, you think you could, you think knowing their anatomy now, that you might be able to toss that thing, toss something right in their mouth, toss it right up, just gentle-like, up and into the mouth, and then light it on fire.
You could do that. There's a possibility. With a shot? But you risk making it mad. I remember what happened when we made it mad.
Oh, I remember. I want to carve one.
I think that the rope idea is a sound idea, but they're so heavy that if they were just to push and lean on that rope, it'd probably break.
It would have to be something sturdier than rope.
Are they following us, or are they just moving into where we are?
I think they're following us. I think they probably smell us.
They look like they're going to... Are they going to move to attack us?
Well, they're
moving really slow.
They're down in the clearing. We're headed up towards the temple, so we're fine. They're just they're moving towards us.
I want to think that they're not intelligent. That they're just at most plants, or very small intelligence, and that they're not going to have any kind of problem solving abilities. So if you tie a rope onto it, it may simply sense that it's come up against a rock and try to turn around and go in another direction.
That's a decent idea. But
my question is, do you think maybe they sense vibration or sound? If that's the case, if we're quiet, maybe they won't be able to sense us.
Well, your option is to stand here quietly for the rest of the day, but
we could look at the head we've got in a bag and see if it's got a nose or ear.
Well, is there any way also,
we have a biologist.
I mentioned the rope. Is there any way also that we could rig up a sort of thing where we can push them off balance, get them to fall over? I imagine that once it's fallen over, it's going to have a hard time getting back up, like a turtle on its back.
Well,
While you're discussing this, these things are slowly getting closer.
Yeah, we're watching them.
No matter what, I think that the best strategic advantage is up in the temple.
Oh, yeah. We need to go.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
How about here's another idea. Why don't you take a little load of salt there and throw the salt down on the ground right in front of them and see if that doesn't, you know, if they're like snails or slugs, they ain't going to walk across that. It's going to burn them.
I don't think they're like snails or slug, Pijo.
Well, I've got
damaged by salt too.
I've got this, and I pull out the borax I have, the 20 mule borax, and I say, maybe this can do something. It kills ants, kills fleas.
I don't know, something.
Even worth if a you shot, I guess, but just leave it in a trail over our paths and.
Well, I don't have that much, but I can certainly create a small barrier on the path here, and when we see them approaching, by the time that we get up to the temple, they should be about here.
To the GM, what is our path like? Are we going on a narrow path, maybe 3 or 4 feet wide up a hill?
At the moment, you're in quite a sort of wide pastoral opening.
So there are ways around us. If we put a barrier in the middle,
you are surrounded. This is an open area of, say about 30 feet in diameter, and it's surrounded on all sides by
jungle.
One end is an opening where the track brought you into this clearing. On the other side of the clearing, ahead of you, is another opening leading to another track that presumably leads further up to this cone thing.
Okay. Well, if ahead of us, I assume since we're trying to get up to that, there's going to be a trail going up the side of this hill. At a certain point, the ground's going to be steep on this side and steep down on that side with our trail in the middle. We'll have very little to block there. We could actually rig up something so that if they try to get up that trail, we can push them over. Push them down into the gully.
I was going to say, well, why don't we just block the trail with like rocks or prop it up like a rock or something? So if we could do like a tripwire thing, prop up a stick with a rock, and like when they walk over the string, it'll fall and it'll squish them. It can't be that strong.
I'm just trying to think that maybe they're like zombies in you know, I don't know if there are many zombie movies, but, you know, you just have to keep away from them. They can't, like, run after you.
No. If we just keep moving, and if we're smart about where we go and what we do, no,
we're probably able to outrun them.
Yeah, obviously. So anyways, I said we just, what if we light a little fire in the path and create a lot of smoke? If they are attracted to smell, maybe that'll throw them off our scent.
That's a possibility, I guess.
They got to have some kind of sensor that's sensing the smell of us, if that's what's happening. Maybe they like the smell of our blood.
That's a little morbid.
Well, animals smell what they want to smell, but if we had a little fire going, they might be completely, you know, blown away by the smell of that fire. If they're
natural, go ahead and try it. It's worth a shot. I'll help if you want.
Yeah. So I try to actually light a little fire in the path. I grab some old wood and stuff. I mean, if they're actually
I help gather some wood.
If they're actually creatures that live here in the forest, they must be afraid of fire. And that would be something that a tree you'd think would especially be afraid of, yeah?
Well, you do that. I'm going to head up a little more ways and try and see if we can find an entrance from down here, if I can use binoculars.
Don't you get too far ahead, because we got to stick together as friends, but don't do anything risky.
I smile at Pijo and I say, well, we're not doing anything without you, Pijo.
Okay, don't do anything risky. We'll be there in a few minutes. We're just going to light this little fire.
I nod. And Mick, with that, I'm going to head up to sort of, there's got to be like a natural landing or something like that where I can kind of stop and put my pack down and remove my binoculars and then look up at the temple to see if there's a way in, like an entrance or any visible.
You can't from the track. You can't really see anything more of it other than the top.
The dome top.
There's like a 7 or 8 foot sort of pointed cone.
Okay. I look to Dr. Jack and Damien, and I say, "What do you two think?"
I'd like to follow you if I could.
I think so. Makes sense.
Because I tend to think that if they're moving that slow, we don't have to perceive them as a threat. We just let it be.
What do you two think about this whole situation? I think we should just head back around. What's the point of finding this tribe if we get ourselves killed?
I would have said yes until we saw the temple.
Yeah, I want to see what's in the temple. I mean, there might be something in there worth examining, worth our attention.
I nod and I collapse the binoculars. And I look to Dr. White and I just give a smile. And I say, we're going to keep heading up just a little further ways, all right?
Okay, that sounds good.
Right. So Jen and I are making this little fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I say to her, I say, thank God those things don't like throw poison dots or anything.
I swear to God, Pijo, I am going to punch you. It's not funny when we have one member of our party dealing with acid burns from these things, really?
There are lots of dangers in the jungle. We knew that when we came here. I say we forge ahead. Well, you know, we got these little plants back home that are called stinging nettles, and you get that on your skin, and it's just like, it's acid. Hmm. It's like getting bee stung.
Pijo, I would love you to try
Dr.
to
White,
actually feel
Dr. White.
You know that,
Dr. White, you're up like there. You're not with us. You're up there, Dr. White.
I think he can hear you all the way from down here, Pijo.
How are those trees doing? Are they getting closer?
Yep.
Okay. We throw some heavy greenery onto this so that there's a lot of smoke.
Mm-hmm. I assume I would get some like the kerosene and maybe use it as a bit of like starter so we can get it started quicker.
Kind of use some bigger leaves to fan the flames and get it to blow towards the tree. Do they have any that react?
One of those things.
Do they slow down?
Not that you can see.
Okay,
so fire's not doing the trick. I think at this point, if maybe we just stay ahead of them, they move pretty slow.
Yeah, well, they ain't going to walk across the fire, so...
True.
I think that we're okay. I mean, it's like being stalked by a lion that never actually jumps or comes after you. He just walks really slow.
Well, let's hope they stay moving really slow. And I go to join the others.
All the wonders of nature. And I go with her, of course.
Okay. As you exit the clearing, following after the others, you notice two things. First of all, the trees are still coming towards you. And secondly, you seem to have lost some more bearers.
What the?
Oh. Well, you know, they're afraid.
There's walking trees.
Lying on the ground, and the bearers who would have had them have sort of gone.
Oh, shit. Guess we got to pick up some of this stuff to take it with us.
You know, I guess I'll start carrying some of the stuff myself.
I thought they were our friends.
I think at the point they saw walking trees and you calling them man-eating trees, and they saw it happen to the one to what's his face. I'm sorry, my brain is kind of.
Yeah, they don't want to be recovering from this. Friends.
Yeah, after seeing what they did, I don't think I would blame them for running off on us.
You know, you're an archaeologist. You probably have a little bit of anthropology as well. I don't have any of that stuff, but it seemed to me that if these locals have the habit of smoking so heavily as they do, that's what sort of gave me the idea for the fire.
Hmm.
Maybe it's something that they use to ward off any of these Yatuveos or whatever he called them.
Nope, they just really like cigarettes.
Yeah, no, I don't think it has any particular meaning, Pedro.
Apparently God thinks that too, because his voice just came out of nowhere and told us.
You have to ask Arthur.
All right, so we're catching up. It didn't take us long, so.
Okay. Well, you catch up to them. They still haven't made it into the area where this structure is. It's about 40 meters ahead of you, 40 yards ahead.
Can we see any more of it?
You can see that there is a larger conical structure, which appears to have obscuring it.
The part that we can see, does it look like metal?
Yes.
What color? Silver, gold, gray?
Yeah, from this distance, it looks sort of silverish, grayish.
Hmm.
This would not
match anything I would have read about or seen about in like past cultures at all. So this is something completely new to me.
You've never seen anything like this.
Well,
at all.
Doctors. Do any of you know of any of the tribes in these areas actually working with metal, smelting metal, making things?
Metallurgy has not been, I believe, discovered.
I can try. I'm sorry, no, I got nothing.
Mick, from my readings and then my super high anthropology, do I know if there's any metallurgy on the island?
To the best of your knowledge, the peoples of this region are essentially a Stone Age culture.
I
What metal they have is gained by trade goods with Westerners.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I look to the group and I give a really big smile and I say, but that's not the big thing here. This implies there once was a larger civilization. From all that we've had contact with, it's been smaller tribes, and this implies that there was once at least a unified kingdom within it, because this something like this had to take years to make, especially metallurgy.
Well, if there were once a unified kingdom and it was metallurgy, they will have some record in that temple of their history, and we can trace it back and see what happened. Perhaps they got driven out into these disparate tribes because of something, some other tribe or something, some other like kingdom maybe attacking them.
Gentlemen, and lady, ma'am, I don't have the education that you guys do, but something else just suddenly occurred to me, and I may be barking up the wrong tree, but the fact is, that structure there, if what we were first saying was that these are a Stone Age people and they wouldn't have metallurgy, what if that thing up there is not what we think it is? What if it's a modern structure and somebody is hiding up here? Maybe the Dutch? You know the Dutch. Can't trust the Dutch. This could be technology from our people. There is a bigger civilization. It's off the island.
Which means, and I kind of load around into my rifle, I say, there may be a need for diplomacy.
Well, maybe I've been reading way too many pulp fiction, but what if there's some crazy ass mad scientist up there who's gathered all of the people together and he's experimenting on them?
I would rather see for ourselves.
I think that's a little far-fetched, Pijo, but if there is something up there, we definitely need to be prepared. It's very possible it could be like a military base or something.
One of the last things I read was that H.G. Wells fellow, the Island of Dr. Moreau. And I suddenly got a chill when I suddenly started thinking along those lines. Of course, like I say, I don't know. I read pulp fiction. That's not really considered literature.
Well, I want to point this out. Just because the human mind, it associates things that are somewhat common. What we assume are coincidences. Isn't it a coincidence that this is a huge metal structure and the trees themselves seem to be made of metal themselves?
I was about to say that. You know, what if the trees, you know how the trees are shimmery and metallic, and I kind of point to the trees. You see how they're kind of shimmery and metallic, right? What if that's the structure is built out of?
What if that's the mother plant?
Well, that could be it.
I wouldn't say what if it's the mother plant, but it just seems odd there's a correlation between the trees themselves being somewhat metal.
I'll tell you what, at this point, I'm going to let you scientists walk ahead, and I'm going to watch those trees down there, and I'll keep the rear, and just my advice is to be stealthy.
I think we got that.
If it's World War I Nazis, I mean Germans.
Those goddamn Jerrys.
The trees have pretty much ignored the fire and just
they've walked around it.
They've followed you up the path.
Jesus.
Well, we're gonna need to go in anyways.
We don't really have much choice. They're blocking our path.
Well, yeah. No, it's really no choice.
It's a strategic advantage.
I'm gonna try to rig up some kind of lever. Use a bit of physics on them.
So I'm going to take the lead, I suppose, and make my way into the brush towards the temple, what we assume to be a temple.
I'm going to follow directly behind Dr. Morton.
I'm following. Yep.
Sounds good.
Oh, 402.
Okay. Well, you enter this larger clearing, and what you see is on one side of the clearing, this conical metal structure. It's kind of a dull grey metal. Looks quite pitted, quite old. It's slightly tilted, very slightly tilted at an angle into the hill. And about 4 feet from the base of it, there's a sort of a circular indentation just about visible on the surface of it. Next to it, or about 3 feet in front of it, is a small, roughly constructed stone platform consisting of one big stone resting on two smaller stones, which has a groove in the middle of it and appears to be stained a much darker color than the rest of the stone. On the other side of the clearing, you can just about make out that where the ground dips back a bit, it looks like there's a cave or some sort of opening in the side of the mountain.
So
for the most part, though, the rest of the clearing is completely covered by dense foliage. The foliage in the clearing is maybe about a foot to 2 feet high.
In direction wise, is the temple to my left or my right?
The temple is to your right as you come into the clearing.
So I smile to the group and I shrug and I say, "Right's always right." And I lug my pack up and I begin heading towards what I assume to be some sort of ceremonial section where the. Yeah,
I'm going to go look at the altar thing myself and see if I can identify exactly what is stating that grooved area.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Well, I mean, it's probably blood, but I'm going to see if I can see if there's any, like, I want to see how old this area is.
It's mango.
This stone thing is.
Mango juice.
Mango juice. Very funny, Pijo. So I'm going to take a look at it.
Hello. Okay, well, give me an archaeology roll.
Dr. Oddu, have you seen any buds lately?
Extreme make.
Okay.
No birds around here.
It's definitely blood. It doesn't necessarily look like fresh blood, but it looks like there has been enough blood over a long enough period of time that it's left a permanent staining effect on the surface of the stone.
This is a sacrificial altar.
Mick?
Yes.
Can you tell me if this altar is if the corners and if the edges are smooth? It's like a clean cut.
No, it's just a piece of rough hewn stone. It's just a lump of stone that's been shifted onto two smaller, longer, quite long pieces of stone that are roughly the length of its own width. The only real working that's been done to it is the construction of this groove in the middle, a trench in the middle that's maybe 4 inches wide,
which
and
collects
narrows to about an inch wide at the end.
Yeah, but it collects the blood. I'm wondering because I'm just, this is odd. You've got, from what I can tell, you've got a metal structure which implies metallurgy and some kind of centralized civilization. At the same time, you've got this. If they had metallurgy, it means they had cutting tools. So this altar isn't from them. It's probably from a tribe.
I think you're on the right track there.
I would agree with that. I mean, I'm not seeing any hieroglyphs or anything or any sort of writing that indicates that they're connected, except that this would have to be a sacrificial altar to some sort of maybe deity that resides in that metal temple.
Mick.
Aztec style.
For clarification, describe the temple. Is it like a smooth cone just sticking up out of the ground at a slight angle?
Yes, the side you can see, it looks like it was once smooth. It's kind of pitted.
Right.
The surface, quite dull, like, but it looks almost like Damascus steel, where it's been sort of the effect that weathering has had on it.
Kind of shaped like Angkor Wat, but without all of the detailing.
It's just, it is just a cone.
Like, literally a cone.
How big? How big across? How tall?
It's about 25 feet across and about 30 feet tall.
So it's big.
Okay. And it's utilitarian in look.
It looks like a dunce's cap.
Like functional, not...
The people we've been following, the tribe members we've been following, do their tracks kind of continue around this sacrificial altar? Do they go into the caves or do they go into this temple?
Someone give me a tracking roll.
I can try.
I can try too.
I can fail.
I fail.
I don't have track. I'm a country boy and I don't have tracking. Okay.
Hey Mick, when we dissected, I guess, the tree and packed it up for our backpacks and stuff, was it actually metal or was it actual wood that just kind of looked like
it? It wasn't a substance that you really recognize. It had elements of a sort of metallic look about it, but it was flexible in a way that metal isn't. Some angles, it almost looked like thick rubber. It was much tougher than rubber.
And this temple, is it the same material?
No.
Okay.
It's actual metal.
This is an actual metal.
I lean over to Dr. White and I say, why don't you go over there and carve your initials in it?
Ha, ha, ha. Well, P-Jo, do you want to carve your initials on it? And feel how the acid feels on?
You got Mick?
Yes?
While they're having that wonderful conversation, I'm going to take a step away from the group, and I'm going to pull out my binoculars again, and I'm going to trace the edge of this... I guess this temple-looking thing, this dunce cap building. Any entrance from our side?
On the side you're on, the only thing that you can see that resembles an entrance is a large circular indentation about 4 feet up.
Okay.
Which to you immediately looks like it could be a hatch or a trapdoor or something. On initial examination, there doesn't seem to be any way of opening it.
You can't
really tell whether it is actually a hatch or a trapdoor or a door or just a carved circle on the surface of the metal. It's really very difficult to tell what it is.
I'm going to lower my binoculars and turn to the group, and I'm going to say, this is very odd. And it's very... Does anyone else find this too strange?
Yeah, it really looks
I
like
agree.
Looks like a submarine stuck end up a...
It's like something out of a...
I mean, does that look like a hatch?
A weird fiction novel.
I feel like we should take my initial advice and that we should probably find a way out.
I don't think we're going to be able to get back the way we came. considering those trees are following us.
You know, the Dutch think
the trees have stopped at the edge of the clearing.
That's...
You know, the Dutch think that there's gold in these hot hills here. Don't you want us to look in the cave?
I say,
I'm going to see if I can take my hunting knife and pry the hatch or whatever it is open with it.
Well, let's look at it first and see if there's...
Yeah, like a pressure point.
Yeah, if there's any way to like open it.
You can't see anything on this side of the cone, though.
Hmm. What is the texture of this metal? Is it like you say, like steel?
It's smooth. It's quite warm.
Warm?
Yeah, it's been in the sun all day. It feels warm.
Mick, are there any interlocking parts or segments where we can see seams? Is there anything like that?
No.
I look to the group and I say, this is bad, screaming at us. We don't even have the ability to make something of this size without creating seams.
You have a point.
I'm going to walk around to the other side.
Okay. Well, on the other side, you see a very different spectacle indeed. The other side seems to be covered with... I'm tempted to call them carvings, but they're not really carved. They're markings, let's say. A series of markings.
What the hell is this?
Like writing?
Not writing, more like pictographs.
I look it over and I try to maybe decipher what's going on with it, if I can.
What civilization it might come from?
Give me a spot hidden, because... I mean, you're not really sort of searching for them, but you will have to clear quite a lot of foliage that's grown up over the...
I spotted that hidden.
Okay. Something very unsettling about them. There's something abnormal. And wholly unfamiliar about the things depicted on there. It's not from any culture you recognize as an archaeologist. It seems to show five distinct kinds of creatures. The one that appears most often is a sort of insect, but not an insect. It's difficult for you to even understand what you're looking at. It's a very strange form of art. But often you can see that these insects are holding cylinders, which seem to project a thin extrusion that is cutting or destroying something. In others, they're holding a sort of box-shaped thing that seems to have this petal emerging from the front of it. And in those pictures, they're shown seemingly, from what you can see, subduing the tree-like things that you've seen, which are featured in these markings.
Mm-hmm.
There are other elements that seem to be deliberately crude when showing the other creatures on there. Deliberately crude and simplistic, as though In some way, they're trying to disguise the details of the things they're showing. They look like they might not be literally representative; they're very simplified. They show images of two suns, and some great towering pylons and domes, and queer-looking cities. And flying among them these strange insects. And the images seem to go all the way down the dome, down the cone, right down to the ground where they're obscured by the earth. And they rise all the way up to the tip of the cone on about the rear third. And obviously when they get to a certain height, you can't clearly make them out anymore.
Do they have any resemblance to any civilization you've ever seen, the Doctor?
No, not at all. I'm at a loss. It's almost like if this is a civilization, it's not a human one.
Well, it's most definitely a civilization, and what else would it be? But one that nobody's ever found before. This is a very isolated island. I could see them developing a language and a scripture that nobody else, that you wouldn't have seen.
This might
be the very tip of a whole underground network of caves filled with gold, for all we know.
We need to get into this temple.
We can call it the Chase Civilization. What do you think?
I'm going to approach Damien and Jack, and I'm going to kind of thump them on the chest, and I'm going to eye the cave. And I guess I make direct eye contact with Pedro as well.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, I'm busily sketching down these glyphs as best as I can and trying to sketch the cone and everything. And I'm like, oh my god, yes.
I want to walk over to the cave and just, I'm not going in, but I'm going to look inside and see if I see anything.
I will follow Mr. Pijo, and I will provide a flashlight so that if it's dark inside, we can kind of see the walls.
Yeah. I've got one.
Hey, you guys, wait up a second. I'm still working on these drawings here.
Well, someone should protect you while you're out doing that.
Perhaps it can be Dr. White.
Dr. White, do you have a rifle or something like that?
I'm armed.
Yeah, but while you're sketching, you've got your back to the...
Well, let's have the boars also settled down. The trees aren't moving into this clearing, so we'll go check out the cave, and we'll let you guys know what we find. I guess we'll make our way over to the cave with Pedro. You coming, Jack?
Yes, sir. Right behind you.
Sounds like a plan. We should. Yep.
The first 15 or 20 feet of the cave, it's very rough and rocky. Looks like a lot of debris has fallen down from the mouth of the cave. But as you look further in, it seems to be more of a dry, silty floor level. It heads off into the distance. That's all you can tell from where you're standing at the mouth of the cave, that it seems to be quite deep and heads off into the dark. There's the occasional sound of a drip.
And I look to the four of us and I say, any one of us have any geology? I'm going to tell you this now. Relics aren't going to be usually found in caves. And I chuckle because that's ridiculous. There's relics found in caves all the time.
I just think that the proximity of the cave to the cone, whatever we want to call it, has got to have some significance.
Could I just,
part of the collapsed, collapsed structure.
Dr. Ardu and Dr. Chase both looked at the markings. Did anyone else?
I glanced at them, but I didn't pay any attention because I don't know anything about that.
So. I kind of looked at them.
Well, I'm sure
we should get in this cave and take a look around.
Yeah, I'm sure I did like an anthropology on the symbols. The closest symbols to me because I want to see what language
Those of you who did look at them, I'd like you to make a sanity roll, please.
Alrighty.
Yeah,
a fail.
There is something horribly disturbing about these pictures. And the more you look at them, the more you get the sensation that even the unsettling feeling you're experiencing by looking at them is just a shadow of what these things are actually meant to depict. If you failed, lose one sanity.
All right.
If you made it, lose one sanity. If you failed, could you roll 1d4, please?
All right.
Ow, I failed.
All right. I lost two.
Okay.
Only one.
There's something. I mean, you've seen a lot of that in your career as an anthropologist. You've seen a lot of things like this. You've seen all sorts of carvings and pictographs depicting all kinds of monsters and myths. But nothing has just made you feel unsettled in this almost indescribable way, in the way this has. It's just that you just get the feeling that there's just something, you can't place it, but there's just something very, very wrong about this. Something about it just makes you feel very nervous and disconnected from the world around you.
So what I do with that information is I look to the other three, and how far away are the other two?
Haven't moved from by the cone. I just finished up drawing, sketching some of the symbols I found and everything.
So I'm going to guess, Mick, they're kind of a ways away. They're on the other side of the clearing.
Yeah.
Yes. So, the cone and the cave are roughly on opposite sides of the clearing.
I look to the three and I say, I don't know why we're even considering going into the cave. We got what we came for. This could make the four of us rich. But we don't need anything in the cave.
But what else could be in there? There could be more.
There could be gold. There could be piles of jewels on the like mountains. Who knows what's in there?
And here's what I suggest. I suggest we take some of these railroad spikes, we hammer them into the ground, we make our way inside, we do one trip, we find one thing, we bring it out.
Okay. But we have to agree on the thing.
Sure. We'll agree on the thing, Damien.
Yeah, at this point we're just trying to find evidence of an actual civilization. I don't think that we have to worry about the civilization. They're long, long dead. Otherwise, they would have spread that technology to these primitive people.
Yeah.
How go the maps, Pijo? I kind of look at you.
We're right on track with that, so.
I'm just finding what I came here for, a lost civilization, something new, something I can put my name on and make a name for myself with. This is my equivalent of that tree we just got, so we're not going to leave until I get as much information about this as I possibly can.
How can she hear us? Well,
like away from the clear. That's super hearing.
This is in my head.
Oh.
This is in my head. I apologize. Oh my God,
we're telepaths.
How can we hear what's
through all that metal?
Did you guys say something?
It's like a beat.
It's a narrative conceit.
Well, so, and but that's something I do want to bring up to you three. What do we do about the others?
I don't know.
Look, if we can, if we can distract them with the idea of safety, that we've got to leave, we've got to get out of here, then I think that we're fine. We don't have to tell them what's in our pockets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're gonna talk about the other two are gonna talk about the location of this place. If they go out first, we're screwed.
They can tell somebody that there's things up in the mountains on the Vogelkop, but nobody'll know where. The Dutch have been saying there's gold in these mountains for ever since they got here, and they haven't found a damn thing. So I don't think it'll amount to much. And I think the people think they're nuts. They tell them the trees can walk.
Well, and Pedro, you're right. You have the map.
Yeah.
You could change the map.
I have two maps. I have the correct one. And I have the other one.
I smile to Damien, and I say, "See," and I slap Pedro on the chest and I say, "I knew it was a good idea bringing him in. I knew it." So, what's the plan? We wait for them to come back, and then we go in. Do we go in ourselves? What do we all agree?
Let's see if we can find something first, and if we do find something, we can tell them that it's a dead end.
All right. So then, what I'll do is I'll throw down my pack and I'll open up and I'll pull out. I have about 100 feet of rope, and I'm gonna I only have three of them, so I take a railroad spike and I kind of tap it into the ground and tie the rope to it, and I say, "This guy's our way out."
Well, let's also keep to the right hand so that
right hand rule.
We can always turn around and walk left out.
One of us should stay here in case, and I motion over to the pillar for the temple in case they decide to walk.
I'll tell you what. I'll stay here.
Well, how sweet of you! And I smile. I laugh. You just took the job of not having to go at the temple.
Actually, there's a problem with that. I am the cartographer. Mm. I am more or less mapping this cave in my head, so I have to go.
Yeah. I think that Jack should stay. Jack, you don't have
What does Jack say about that?
I'm not happy about it.
Well, what's going to happen out here?
What do you mean? In the cave?
No, out here in the clearing. Like, nothing's going to happen out here. You should be fine. The clearing, the cave could be dangerous. The clearing's safe.
Wait, I've got a solution. Give me a moment.
All right.
I'll run outside. Dr. White? Dr. Chase?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
What's up?
Do you guys have a flashlight that works?
Yeah, in my pack here.
Should I get it
more than like just wait a minute. Come over here. You can grab it and just wait a minute. I'm almost done sketching these.
Okay, but for some reason, I don't know whether it's, I don't know what the heck's going on, whether someone's messing with their stuff. Both of our flashlights, like the two of our flashlights, are dead, and that place is black as hell in there.
Oh, really?
Well. Okay, let me head over there, and I grab my flashlight, pick it up, and head over.
If I could borrow this would be great.
Here.
Thank you.
If don't lose that flashlight, it's the only one I have.
No, that's good. Thank you very much.
Right, thanks. Find anything, let us know.
Absolutely. Yeah. No. This is scientific information to be shared.
Tell them to keep an eye on those trees.
Watch those trees. I think they're getting closer.
Yes. You head back to the cave. While you're heading back to the cave, Wepu comes up to Dr. Chase. And he asks you if you want them to strike camp there. I don't know. So the sun will be going down in about an hour.
I don't think we have much choice. At this point, I think we might want to start posting a watch, and if the trees start getting closer, we find some way to scare them off.
I totally agree.
Well, since they came into the clearing, they haven't moved. They're on the edge of the clearing.
Yeah, but I can't help feel like they're waiting for something. That's what it feels like to me.
I kind of want to take a long pole, push it up against them, and then shove them. See if they fall over like turtles. Like cow tipping.
Tree tipping?
Tree tipping. They got to be top heavy.
Isn't there a saying like don't poke the bear or something like that?
Yeah, let's not bother them. The last time we poked one of those things.
The walking carnivorous tree.
The Atevo. All right, so I've pretty much finished up my sketching, so I guess while they're exploring the caverns and the bearers are setting up, I'm going to help strike camp since we have fewer bearers.
Okay.
We should. So I'm going to guess Damien has approached. He's approaching us at the cave entrance at this point. Mm-hmm.
Well, here I've got Dr. Chase's flashlight.
And I take it from you and I look and I say, so what does this accomplish?
It keeps them from following us because they don't have any light.
Ah. That's
brilliant. Brilliant. Literally brilliant.
But the joke's on them because I have a...
You have the batteries.
I don't have the batteries. I have a, I forget what it's called. Oh my god, why can't I remember what it's called? A Zippo lighter? Lighter. A lighter, yeah, I have a Zippo lighter.
Yeah, lighters never give off that much fire, that much light.
Well, it's a start. I know how to make torches.
It's only 1 foot candle instead of, I think, like 35.
Well, considering that if you keep that flame lit on your lighter for about 2 minutes, it's going to get so hot it's going to explode in your hands.
True.
All right. So we're all agreeing to go in together. If something happens, there's 4 of us, right?
If something happens, the ones who survive get to split the cash.
Well, hopefully we all survive.
Hopefully it's me and you, Arthur.
So... All right, so I'm going to kind of take up the rope, and I say, I guess I'll leave. I have the rope. We'll just hold on to the rope and make sure that the wall on your right side, you follow along that, and we should be fine.
Okay, make a spot hidden just as you're going into the cave.
Spot hidden.
Mm. Is that for all of us?
You can all make a spot hidden as you're going into the cave.
94. My eyes haven't adjusted yet.
I got a 3.
No. Big fail for me.
20.
Okay. Well, we've got 2 successes there. So those of you who've made a success, you can see lots of very clearly lots of human footprints, bare human feet, in and around the cave entrance, going into and coming out of the cave.
If
there's been a lot of traffic in and out of the cave.
If I were to do a survival check, could I see if these are fresh?
Not with survival, no, but with tracking.
Track. You could. God damn it. Anybody know if these are fresh? And I turn to the other 3 behind me.
Nope.
All right. Well,
fresh.
No, sorry.
Just, and I remove my pistol.
We can, Yeah. We can tell they're human footprints, though, so they're fresh enough.
Well, if the tribe came here, they had to go somewhere, and this is the path they took.
Do we hear anything?
Only the occasional drip of water. I mean, the floor of the cave at this point is quite sort of soft and silty. And it's ideal for leaving nice clean footprints, really.
Temperature wise, what's the temperature as we're moving into the cave? Is it getting colder?
Yeah, as you move into the cave, it gets cooler. At a certain point, about 30 feet into the cave, you'll hit the what's called the ST temperature, which is 10 degrees Celsius. Whatever that is, in fact.
54 degrees or so. I say to the other side, I say, just a second. And I reach in and I pull out a lighter. And I light the lighter. And I look at the flame. Is there a breeze?
Not noticeably.
So it's not a huge cave.
How high would the ceiling be?
This section, about 10, 12 feet.
Short enough that one of those tree creatures couldn't get in here?
Probably not.
Okay.
It is. It gets a little narrower ahead of you. You can see that.
Let's push on.
Well, if Pedro is correct and this is a small cave, it means that we don't have to go too far. And right. I continue.
Well, as long as we don't hear anything, because the sound's going to echo throughout the cave, so we should be good.
Well, you tread on for another 10 minutes. Takes you about another 15, 20 yards into the cave. You're going very slowly. It's not an easy journey. You get to what appears at first to be the back of the cave.
Hmm.
But make a spot hidden.
Maybe this is all there is to it. Maybe we're completely wrong. I missed. I don't see anything.
15 passed.
I got a 56. Fail. Fail by 6.
The end of the cave. On first impressions, you think that it's just the end of the cave. But looking a bit closer, and you have to get very close up to it with your flashlight, you can see that what you thought was the back wall of the cave is actually a worked stone that seems to be roughly circular, is filling the gap. You examine a little bit further, you can find there are handholds on the stone. There seems to be an indication that there's a trench that the stone is sitting in.
I'll be damned, Arthur, you got damn good eyes.
And I smile and I say, well, now we just need to...
Well, that looks like... Wouldn't we put our hands here and push? Will it roll, you think?
Possibly.
Like the tomb of Jesus.
And I usher Pedro over so that way we can possibly move this stone together.
You know, we might at this point need to include the two outside.
But what happens if we find something, Pedro?
Well, you know, kind of think the archaeologist should be in on this.
I don't think that she or Dr. White would be the kind of people that would sell this kind of stuff. You know, I've got clients who are willing to take everything that we've got. They probably just want to take it to the university.
Well,
I say that we
let's move on then.
Well,
meanwhile, above ground, Dr. Chase and Dr. White. Dr. Chase, you've finished making your sketches of the carvings or markings on the stone, pictographs. Dr. White, you've been keeping a very, very close eye on the trees, and they certainly don't seem to have moved.
Okay.
Wepu and the remaining bearers have nearly finished setting up camp. They've lit a fire. Everything's strangely quiet. There's nothing really going on. There's the occasional buzzing of insects, but other than that, there doesn't seem to be any animal life up here.
I just have an odd feeling. Something about those glyphs.
I know. I have a bad feeling, too, about this.
Maybe Arthur was right. Maybe we should leave.
I've got what I want to do. I found that nice orchid.
Found the tree.
Yeah.
I found this ghost in the temple.
Honestly, I would prefer just to leave right now, but we should wait for the rest of those guys.
I should point out, before the light goes, it does. You do have photographic equipment.
True.
Okay.
Oh, well, I could try. I'm certainly not a photographer, but
yeah.
The brownie would have been invented by now, so that you could just point and click mostly.
Yes, you got little camera with a light meter on it.
But yeah, take some pictures of the site. Why not? Especially the glyphs.
Yeah, you should.
The altar, the temple, and the glyphs.
It takes a while to find the photographic equipment. Actually, can you make a luck roll for me?
Yep.
Will I make it?
Okay, well, if you both make it, then I'll say that you do find, indeed, you find a camera and some film.
I make it.
That was not in the in the
destroyed pack. Yeah. Yeah, I make it.
Okay. So, as the light seems to be going, you set about taking a few photographs before the sun goes down. And while you're doing that, we'll return to the others in the cave. You are standing in front of the big stone at the back of the cave.
So I think if we all put our backs into it, we can roll this thing back.
It's okay. So I grab it, and as I'm, you know, kind of turning it, I grunt to Pedro, and I say, gritting my teeth, I say, we could probably include them. Because, you know, accidents always happen. And I dig my hands into the handholds.
Well, Arthur, you're so goddamn sinister all the time. That's why I think I like you. You got a dark side.
And you thought I was just reading books because I was not a social person.
Can you both make strength rolls, please?
Sure. I figured it would take all four of us, but...
What is up with these computer die? Five.
Yeah, you're getting really good rolls. I got a 23, so that passes. I got a 60. That's better than a hard.
It's between the two of you. It's not particularly easy to open it, just two of you. But you rock it back and forth a few times, and you kind of find the right point where you can just use its own momentum to push it back. And okay. It's quite well constructed. It just sort of rolls back in a trench.
Now, do I get a? Do we get a blast of cold air, or do we get a?
You could definitely feel the movement of air as you rock the stone out of the way.
Now we've opened up into something much larger.
How deep in are we?
At the moment, you've gone about 45 yards into the cave to get to the back of it.
Right.
And you would estimate that you've probably gone about 8 to 10 feet down from the mouth.
Do the have tracks continue?
Yes, they do.
Have there been side passages, or was this pretty much a straight on?
No, this has just been one. It just looked, to all intents and purposes, until you found this stone at the back of it, it just looked like a single, long, narrow cave.
Hmm. Well, no chance of getting lost, then, at least not to this, up to this point.
You say no one's got geology.
I actually have geography. I have 30.
Geography would probably be applicable in this case, yes.
Okay. Rocks versus maps.
Let's see.
You can tell we're 3,275 miles from Texas.
So I got a 36. I have a 30. Can I waste 6 luck points?
If you wish.
I do wish it. All right. I am down from 47 to 41.
You seem to recall from your geography lessons at college that on volcanic mountains, such as the mountains in this region, you will frequently find lava tubes, which can become the basis of cave systems.
So I tell the group this clearing is possibly at the base of or is a volcano, probably dormant.
Well, I heard there's a lot of volcanoes in this in the South Seas. So, okay.
Yeah. We just should be careful. The cave system may not be structurally stable.
Well, if it's been here for 25,000 years, it's probably pretty stable.
Well, keep your wits about you, is all I'm saying.
If you're saying we're going to open this door and there's going to be like a wall of lava come pouring out at us.
No.
I'd say, screw this at this point.
what I mainly mean is tubes don't just go side to side, front, back. They go down.
Yeah.
So watch yourself for... Even if it's a small tube, we don't want your foot getting stuck. Because God knows what we'd have to do to get that out. Well, let's press on. And I raise my revolver up and I say, let's continue.
Yeah, you might shoot somebody from this old dead civilization.
Okay. I wouldn't do that.
Where have all these people gone? Why did they come in here?
Well,
and they closed the door behind them.
Something closed the door behind them.
All right. You don't go very far before you reach it. After only about 10 meters, 10 yards, you reach a slightly larger chamber. And I say a chamber, it's roughly about twice the size of the tunnel that you've come through.
So about 40 feet across?
About twice the width, about 40 feet across, and about 40, 45 feet long. And there are two or three openings. Can't really tell. One of them might just be more of a sort of alcove, a nook, perhaps. It's bigger than a cranny. It's a nook. And the other two seem to be passages. branching off ahead of you and to the right of you, and there's sort of, you can't, as I say, you can't tell whether it's a nook or it might be a passage that's collapsed, possibly. It's difficult to tell.
Well, now we're going to start having multiple paths.
Make a listen roll.
Ooh, 7.
That's good, because I know.
Do you hear something?
I hear something. Shh.
From the passage directly ahead, you're not sure. It could be the sound of just rocks falling. It could be the sound of movement. It's difficult to tell.
Did you guys hear something? I didn't hear anything.
It sounded like maybe something disturbed some rocks and they fell over. But like I said, if this place had been here for thousands of years, any rocks that were going to fall would have fallen a long time ago.
Yeah, but animals find their ways down in the caves.
Do they open up gigantic stone doors?
Yeah. Big animals. No.
Well, that's the people that came in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm going to slide the pistol back into its holster that's strapped around my chest.
Is there any... Let's look up at the ceiling for a moment. Is there any indication of soot or, you know, that smoke... how do these people see if they came down in here?
A great big spiders.
Yeah.
No, there's no evidence of any phosphorescence or any soot or smoke.
This don't make no sense at all.
Which way did the tracks go?
The tracks also lead directly forward.
Well, the tracks are a way we can track where we're going, so... Let's kind of shuffle our feet a bit so that we can see clearly that this is the direction we came.
If we shuffle our feet, we're going to give away our position too.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah, we don't want to make too much noise.
Well, I think that
I don't mean making noise. I just mean, you know.
Just kind of ground our feet.
Making an obvious track.
Wow. Somebody's job at the back every so many feet. Draw a line.
Yeah.
Drag who is in the back?
Yeah. Well.
I got the shotgun. I can take up the back. I'm okay with that.
All right. Yeah. Just every once in a while, drag your feet through the dirt.
Sure. Every like 50 feet, I'll try to make a mark.
Okay.
Quietly.
Okay.
I turn to Jack and I say, do you think we should follow the tracks?
Yes.
The tracks lead in. They don't lead out. So they didn't leave. They're still here.
No, they go both ways.
Yeah. Oh.
You established that at the mouth of the cave. There's a lot of traffic.
All right. So there is traffic. That's good.
But we don't see them going into the other tunnels.
No.
Right. Right. Okay. Just one straight ahead of us.
Yeah. I think they know which ones are dangerous. We shouldn't go in those tunnels. At least not yet.
What if we wait here for a bit and see if that
someone comes?
Noise is coming towards us.
Well, let's stand here for a bit and listen.
Okay. Yeah, well, while you're standing there and listening, I'm going to jump back to the other two.
Okay.
Okay.
So, Doctors Chase and White.
Mm-hmm.
Finish taking your photographs.
Well,
the sun
I think
is going
got
down.
It.
Yeah, you've done the best you can, but you've run out of light now. The sun is going down. The bearers have got the fire going. Make a listen roll.
Okay, I will do that right now.
Not quite.
Oh, I make it. I'm pretty sure I do. Got a 12, so.
Cool, one of us heard.
Oh, to white.
Yep.
You hear a sound. Oh, I have a prop for this. Hang on. You hear a sound.
Oh my god, it's paper!
Like rustling paper. But it's not the sound that unnerves you. It's where the sound is coming from.
Where is it coming from?
This sound seems to be coming from the apex of the cone.
Do you hear that, Miss Chase?
Hear what?
Sounded like rustling paper.
As he directs your attention to it, you pay more attention this time. Yeah. You do think you can hear something like a sort of dry rustling sound.
I do hear it.
From deep inside the cone.
What is that?
I don't know.
No, I'm nervous and I get my rifle out. Shotgun. I keep calling it a rifle, it's a shotgun.
Okay. I'm just gonna make you roll. The bearers have noticed that you've got your weapon out, but they've kind of grown used to this now. The idea that this is what Westerners do. They just pull out their guns at the slightest provocation and start waving them around. They're just getting on with making dinner. I mean, you can see they're very clearly checking the tree things.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're not moving into the clearing seems to have lessened the tension amongst the bearers quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But every now and then you hear another slight rustling sound from inside the cone.
We should check that out, shouldn't we? Sounds very curious.
I guess so. I agree.
I also have my gun out, and I kind of go closer just in case something happens.
Yeah, I'm keeping a close watch out and I have my gun rather ready.
Well, you have a look at the cone and in the sort of really rather beautiful fading pink light of the sunset, you can't see any change in the surface of the cone. I mean, it's the same cone that it was.
Okay, I will try and pick up. I'm not gonna do that. I've learned my lesson from the first time.
Try and pick up a passing sailor. Take your mind off the whole thing.
Is the rustling's not getting closer to that door like marking on the cone, is it?
The rustling sounds like it's coming from the top of the cone. So about sort of 25 to 30 feet up in the very top bit of the cone.
Well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just like some foliage that's in there rustling around. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know.
You know, it's been a while. They're still not back.
I know. It's sounds, well, that's really weird.
Do you think we should go looking for them?
I think we should, but Yeah, we should.
No, I think before we do that, to make sure that the rustling isn't heading towards like if we can maybe determine if there's something alive in there moving around, I'm going to try to wrap on the cone.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, you wrap on the cone. And again, you hear the rustling. This time, seemingly more animated. And before we jump back to the others, I'd like you both to make a listen roll.
Well, let's see. Well,
this one I do make.
Oh, I do not make this one. Apparently, I'm better at longer range.
Dr. Chen, I guess you're probably you're just nearer to the cone after banging on it. But this time, when you hear that noise, you become unsettlingly aware that the noise seems to be coming from several places inside the cone.
Oh, God.
And on that note, we will jump back to the others in the cave.
Stop touching me.
Sorry. No. I will not. I'm scared of you.
I laughed out loud. I'm sure my kids wonder what tells me.
I'm nervous and I'm scared. And you're in the back.
All right.
Make a sleight of hand roll. If you pass, I'll let you continue touching him and he doesn't notice.
All right. Sweet. Seriously? I'm doing it.
Okay.
38. Oh, boy. I'm holding your hand, boy.
There's something in my pocket.
You just think I'm in your pocket. I'm way past that. We should keep going.
Just country handshake. All right, let's go.
Okay. As you go further down the tunnel, you notice that the tunnel is curving round to the right. And so after about 20 feet, you're pretty much heading back in the same direction that you originally came from. But
we're going down?
Heading down.
So we're doing a spiral like this.
Well, kind of like just a U-turn, but
okay.
You've gone down, and now you've gone down north,
like a switchback. And,
yeah, and now you're heading south.
Has it gotten steeper?
It's a little steeper. It's not uncomfortably steep, but you're very much aware. With the other one, it was a slow incline. This time, you're very much aware that you're going down.
I have a very bad feeling about this.
Well, we want to get rich, don't we?
I'm going to need another listen roll.
Oh, 26.
One.
You hear everything.
Yeah.
With a one, I will say, from quite some way ahead down the tunnel, you hear the unmistakable sound of metal striking rock.
Clank.
It's quite distant, and it's coming from at least two or three sources, because it's not a single sound you can hear.
So
it's little more than a tapping at this distance, but it's very clearly the sound of metal on rock.
So can I do this? I do this all the time, but I'm not in a cave. So knowing which way the sun sets and the sun rises, I know which way is east and west. In the cave, which way have we been going? how far have we gone, and where are we in the clearing? Would I know if I rolled a survival check?
I'd say that you were originally going north.
Okay.
You're now going south, and allowing for the fact that you've kind of doubled back on yourself, you're probably about 70 yards into the mountain from the mouth of the cave.
So we're
but you're now heading towards. You're now heading back. You're heading back towards the clearing, but underground.
Being a cartographer, are we heading towards the cone, but underground?
If you're heading south, you would be essentially heading towards the cone. Yes.
Okay. I said, Arthur, to you. Does it sound like miners? People mining off in the distance?
No. I think that they're. I turn and I whisper, and I say, what? What are you laughing at, Pedro?
Did you say they're not miners? They're fully grown adults.
No, I was that, but you just said it. There you go. God, that is a
yeah,
dad
you've all got
joke.
Make a sanity roll for that.
Yeah, that's a dad joke if there ever was one.
My character's becoming giddy. I got a 99 on my sanity
roll. 1d10.
That's all right. I wasn't seriously making you roll sanity there.
No, but I think my character's probably getting a little terrified.
I say... The Hatan people. Remember them?
Yes. You told me all about those on the ship. You told me about them, and you told me about them, and you told me about them. And
well, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Beneath me, I'm going to guess there's kind of ash and soot. Am I correct?
No, there's no ash. There's no soot.
There's no ash. What is the ground...
There's a fine dark silt, which looks like it might be volcanic in origin, but thousands of years ago.
If I were to dip my hand in it and kind of take a big chunk and go like this with my hand, would my hand be kind of a grayish?
Yeah, your hand would be a dirty grayish color, yes.
I show my hand and I turn to the group and I say, I think I know why the Hatan are white.
Why do you know? What do you think?
I think either one of two things. One is more plausible, the other one is a little outlandish. The first is that they're near so much ash and soot that it just kind of clings to their bodies and they just kind of turn a grayish color. The other is that this is the natural habitat. This is where the tribe lives.
They've lived underground so long that they've lost the pigment in their skin.
Huh. That's interesting.
So I think we need to make a group decision right now. We either turn back... or we keep going, because I'm going to tell you, if we keep going, we may, we're in their area.
I think this is turning into a real adventure.
I'm starting to think with you that maybe we should turn around and go. But God, I'd like to get a glimpse of these people.
The four of you in the cave, I'd like you to make a constitution roll, please.
Yes, soy.
No.
Damn, I passed. Made that by 50.
I got 84.
I passed.
Okay.
So I'm the only one.
In that case, Pijo... I'm going to ask you to take 1 point of damage, please.
Oh,
you're
right.
Feeling really just nauseous.
Oh boy, guys!
Like suddenly your shirt collar feels uncomfortably tight.
Yeah,
you feel a bit sick and clammy.
Guys, I think I'm getting sick.
Well, then this has just made a decision for us, boys, and I slide the revolver back into the holster. Return back, and I say that we let Dr. Chase and Dr. White lead the team down here. We know what's down here. They don't. Something were to happen, and I shrug.
Guys, I need to get out of here. Sorry. Right. Let's take it's not that back. I'm scared, it's that I'm sick.
Yeah, is he visibly, like, sweating?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's looking pretty ill.
All right. So, Pedro, if you can't walk, we'll hobble you up to the place. But
I can walk. I can crawl if I need to. I'll get out. It's okay. So right. I just start going up.
Okay. Well, while you're heading back out, I'm going to go over to the other two again.
Sure.
Who are in the clearing by the cone. There's
a lot of that rustling in there. Something is moving around in there. Something. A lot of things are moving around in there.
As you are standing at the cone, listening. Slowly, from the western side of the clearing, which is behind you, the sun is going down.
Okay.
Oh, I got a really bad feeling.
Yeah, me too.
And at the precise instant, the shadow from the trees on the other side, the real trees, not the trees, at the exact moment that the shadow from the jungle fully covers the circle on the front of the cone, you hear a very loud clunk.
Oh.
From inside.
Oh, shit. You know.
And slowly, inexorably slowly.
Back away, I'm gonna.
The circle starts. The top piece of the circle starts.
Yeah, I'm gonna need outside feeling.
Retreating inside. Cone.
Bad.
And it's bad. Moving incredibly slowly.
Bad.
Yeah, I'm going to hide around the other side of the cone and not watch what's going to happen. I am very scared and very nervous.
Well, as soon as Sharon Chase said that, I immediately do that.
Yeah, we need to stay out of the way of this. I have a very bad feeling.
Okay. I'm going to go back to the cave. Those of you in the cave, breaking your way out, you've reached the chamber with the two pathways and the one leading up to the rolling stone.
Pathways,
it's Charlie Watts. I'd like you to make another constitution roll, all four of you, please.
88.
There's another pass for me.
Terrible.
3. I laugh at this.
I failed that one.
Question. My constitution.
Okay, those of you who have failed, I'd like you to lose one hit point.
Okay.
What's with you guys? It's perfectly fine in here.
Now both of you are feeling exactly the same way. Pijo, you now feel very much like you're actually going to throw up.
Oh, boy.
And Jack, you're starting to feel nauseous, like you feel like your throat's tight.
Are you going to drop Dr. Morton? Gosh.
It's time to start reciting states.
Alabama.
You guys need some Irish whiskey.
Don't make that noise, or I'm going
Nebraska.
Right. Damien, let's head up.
Yeah,
we'll undo we'll get them up there, and then we'll close down the rock. I don't think that we're going to be able to leave this area. If they're really that sick, we probably can't make it back
I think once we're past the rock, we'll be safe.
Well, let's get them up there and see how.
All right, you grab Jack and I'll grab Pedro.
Done.
You've been grabbing me ever since we got down here.
Yeah, when I got nice and scared, you felt a real pinch. It was like a cinch.
I think we're going to be good friends when we get out of here.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
They call me Arthur Moore.
Well, you make pretty good time getting out, even though two of you are now feeling very, very sick.
I rolled the 3. I feel awesome.
And you get to the mouth of the cave. Just as you're leaving the cave, I'm going to make you make another constitution roll.
I'm just doing this to make me come up.
27. Yeah, I'm doing really good this game.
I failed it again. This time not by only by 8 points.
I'm going to sleep in a cave. I feel great.
Utah.
Sleep in the cave. Okay, this time this time you don't lose a hit point, but you are violently sick. At the mouth of the cave.
Mississippi.
It is what what the people in Australia, where you stopped on your travels, would refer to as a technicolor yawn.
Yeah.
All right. I look at Damien.
It's a Huey Green.
And I say, look, we brought our packs, which means we have our hammocks. We tie up here. Pijo's not getting back to the camp.
No.
The pillar's all the way over there. We need to make sure that he is well. So
we should get rid of the rope one way too.
Yeah, and I'll pull out the railroad spike and start wrapping up the rope. But I say, why don't you start making some food?
Yeah,
Have we exited the cave yet?
You're literally you just stepped over the threshold of the cave.
So we're just outside. So we see now what's going on out here. Where
it's sunset. The sun, you can just see it, the last glint of the sun right on the tip of the cone.
What is the distance between the cave and the cone? Are we talking a mile? Are we talking the football field?
Oh, no. It's about 50 or 60 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can see that the camp has been set up.
Yep, you can see the there are two fires burning over at the camp.
Oh, can thank God!
It, can you make it, PJ, or do you want to set up?
I'm going to head over to the tents and maybe lie down for a bit. What's Dr. Chase doing?
You can't see Dr. Chase or Dr. White.
Where Dr. Chase, Dr. White?
Probably still over with the pillar. Check out those symbols.
All four of you, though, make a spot hidden roll.
Past that.
That is a fail.
Fail.
I'm blind now. I got a 99.
In my illness and extreme.
Well, you're crazy. You're sort of walking, sort of doubled over. So it's kind of at your eye level. And you just glance across at the cone as you're walking past it. And you notice, because the fire, even though it's a dull metal, the fire is sort of lighting it up a bit. And it's glinting off it a bit.
Right.
And it draws your attention to the fact that where there was previously a big circle inscribed on the front of it, there is now a big black circular hole.
Arthur, Donovan, holy shit, look!
And I pull out my grab my rifle and I turn and look. You don't say that if there's not an emergency.
Yep.
And you Jack see the same too. Thing.
They go holy shambolies.
They went inside. Bastards!
But the fact that it's open.
They probably opened it. I don't know how.
Maybe Dr. Chase figured out the translation of the symbols and got the...
Damn it. Well, what about the bears? Bears are sitting around, right?
Bears? Yeah, what bears?
Bears? The remaining six bearers and Wepu have been setting up the tents and working. So they really haven't paid much attention to this cone.
Well, when I said that...
They're more worried about the tree things. Yeah, when you mention it, they turn round. Dihi Wepu obviously understands what you're saying. They turn round and look where you're gesturing. And as they see the same thing that you've seen, now they're starting to look anxious. Worried. One or two of them have picked up their machetes.
Yeah, I've pulled out my shotgun. Even though I'm sick, I kind of steady myself on something, a rock or a plant or a tree or something. All right, what happens?
I'm just listening to see what happens right now, still kind of hidden behind the other side of the cone.
Right, well, the four who just came out of the cave, make a listen roll.
Let's pass.
Yeah, I got that one.
I got a 10. I've got Dr. Morton.
I'm too sick. I don't hear anything.
There is a sound from inside the cone. Like dry, rustling paper.
I'm gonna tap Donovan, and I'm gonna say, the cave.
Yep. We should do this. Yep.
Yep. And I'm grabbing my stuff, and I turn to Jack, and I turn to Pedro, and I say, the cave.
I'm staying put. I'm too sick, but I'm gonna get down on one knee and have my gun ready in case something comes out of that hole.
All right. Nice knowing you.
We're off.
Come on, Donovan.
We're on our way.
Jack, if you want to come, you're more than welcome.
Feel up to it.
I don't know. Something made us sick down there.
Well, something made you guys sick. Went
in there.
We're doctors. We can fix ourselves. Okay, wrong kind of doctors, but, you know, we're good.
I'd rather deal with the possibility of something in the air. I could just, you know, we could just set our stuff up right outside the front of the cave than deal with the open cone where there's no seams and tribes here don't have metallurgy. I'm gonna deal with the cave.
All right.
As long as we don't go too far in. You go, how far in are you on? You going all
Just the entrance.
Oh, okay, I'll definitely do that.
If something happens, we go deeper. But right now, we just stay at the entrance. Chase and White went into that thing. Who knows what they woke up?
You know what else? I had a quick thought. I don't know if it's worth, or even if we could. Would I know? You mentioned the railroad spike. Would we be able to jam the door in the cave?
Maybe.
You said something about like a track.
Put it in the groove. Yeah, I mean, if you put it in the groove behind it when it was shot, yeah.
Just thinking that would, I mean, it would back us into a corner, but it would also keep something from getting us from behind.
True. We could always take the railroad spike out.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to mention that. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll do that. Let's head to the cave. Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. Well, you three run off and hide in the cave.
Aha. Okay.
When you put it that way,
we're still kind of.
Yep.
We're the smart ones. A couple of the bearers have run after you. They've seen that you're obviously running off somewhere, and they're coming after you.
Like they're chasing us with machetes, or they're like, "Oh, you guys are the smart ones."
No, they're coming with you.
Yep. All right, smart people, let's go.
They've realized you're running away, so they're just coming with you. Pijo.
Yeah.
Something is definitely moving inside the cone.
Well, I'm going to wait until I see a good look at it, because it might be Dr. Chase and Dr. White.
Okay. What emerges from the cone, as best you can see in the firelight, is an enormous insect. It's got a big, fat, shining body. It's about the size of a puppy. It has a pair of large semicircular wings, loads of legs.
About the size of a dog? A small dog?
Yeah, it's about 8 inches long.
Okay.
And
it's like a Texas cockroach.
You're watching it. It just crawls to the edge of the hole and looks at you very intently. And then you're not even sure it's really happening, but you hear what you can only describe as voices. Three different voices all at once. And just then, as the fire just grows a little, you look right at this thing and you can see that it has three mouths, and it's talking to you. You can't understand what it's saying, but you just seem to know that it's talking to you.
Okay. Sanity roll?
Yes.
I'm terrified. Let's tell my character this. Got a 38, which actually, wait a second. No, I've got low sanity. That's not a pass. It's a fail.
Uh-oh. I'm going to have to ask you to roll 1d6 then.
Can us that are hiding behind the cone, can we hear this thing talking to him?
You can hear a really weird noise. Well, you can hear several very strange noises coming from the other side of the cone.
I rolled a 6.
You rolled a 6.
Woo!
Okay. You're just running.
I am going to run. Well, I'm just running blindly, probably towards the trees. I think I can run right past them.
I think you'd probably run back to the cave. I mean, the cave is, everyone else has been making a big deal out of the cave being a safe place. I think you'd just run after them.
Okay, so I run to the cave. Of course, I don't stop where they are. I just keep running.
Okay.
Well, at least he's come to his senses. Smart people to the cave.
Am I yelling? Am I screaming like a little girl?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely screaming. You're wide-eyed. Anything you were carrying, you've dropped.
Yeah, gun's still back there, lying there.
You can't even articulate why you're running at this point. You're just running.
Grab the shit and let's follow him. Something scared him. Let's go.
I agree. I'm going to try to head out, and I don't know what he saw, but I'm going to try to
move. You got to run past it.
You're going where, sorry?
I guess we're all going to move towards the cave, because that's the way he went. I'm trying to figure out if I can grab him and maybe pull him back before he gets himself hurt.
No, aren't you, Dr. Chase, aren't you over by the cone?
Yeah, I'm hiding by the cone. We're hiding by the cone.
We're on the other end of the clearing. You're going to have to come around the cone and face the bug. before you come over to the cave where we are.
Uh-oh.
Good point.
Yeah.
But we don't know what is out there, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
It's scary enough to send Pijo run away.
Okay.
I'm also peeing. That's why my name is Pijo.
Odds and evens.
I'm leaving odds and evens. Stream all odds.
The way. Odds it is. Okay. Doctors Chase and White.
Mm-hmm.
You run out to see what's going on. And you can hear not only Pijo screaming and running, but also Whippu and two of the bearers are on their knees just screaming in terror. Two of the Jesus. Other bearers have run for the tree line. One of the bearers is running after the others going to the cave, and the remaining bearer appears to be running, screaming straight towards the tree things at the mouth of the path. And as you turn and look back at the cone, you see about 5 feet in the air, just sort of hovering above the altar, let's call it, because it is in front of the cone, there is this huge, fat, grotesque looking insect that seems to be making these three very distinct sounds. And I'm going to need both of you to, Corey, when he gets back, to make a sanity roll, please.
I failed by like two, but I failed.
Okay, roll 1d6, please.
5.
Okay. All right, you have absolutely broken down. Something about this thing has just pierced your soul with terror. You realize all at once in that moment that what you're seeing is exactly the insect thing that is depicted on the side of the cone. And more than that, it's coming straight towards you. And you're just rooted to the spot. There's nothing you can do. And this thing just flies at you, straight at you, and gets closer and closer and closer. And then, it's gone. And for a moment, everything's quiet and calm. And everything's absolutely fine. And you're kind of wondering whether you even saw something. You get the feeling, Dr. Chase, mm-hmm. that you're not alone. That something is watching you. And at the same time, you're aware that other things have emerged from inside the cone, but they don't seem to be interested in you. You just hear them flap away over the trees and out into the clearing. And you get this feeling that there's something moving through your mind, something with a greater degree of objectivity than yourself. Exploring your mind and your memories, exploring your atoms and your molecules. And all at once, you have a vision. It's a vision of a vast open plain, a dark, horrible place, and you're flying over it. Deep down below, there's a big red pool. And from that red pool, some sort of strange multi-jointed arm briefly emerges. The arm of some magnificent, huge creature. And then it plunges down below the surface again.
Sorry.
And you carry on going, you carry on moving through this landscape. You see three things of the same sort that herded you towards this cone. And in the distance, you see a vast, writhing, boiling, nuclear explosion, but contained in a mass almost beyond description. And you just feel yourself locked in this vision, as though this is all there is now, and any memory of your body is long gone. Long, long gone. And on that note, as an epilogue, I'm going to go back into the cave, where I'd like you all to make one final constitution roll, please.
I passed.
97.
Those who failed lose one more point. Okay, so Dr. White has, we'll say Dr. White has run away. Dr. Chase is seemingly catatonic and just staring at the cone. The other four of you are down in this cave. Jack and Pijo, you are feeling increasingly unwell. Sick, nauseous, very hot, sweaty. The other two don't seem to be feeling anything just yet.
I'm still out of my mind, so I'm probably trying very hard to pry open that door.
Okay.
I'm probably not strong enough to do it, but I'm crazy. I'm crazed.
Sorry, just to clarify, are you trying to get in or get out?
Get in.
Get in, okay. Well, between the four of you, you can easily open it.
I'm not cooperating with anybody. I'm madly screaming and trying to get as far away from that bug as I can at the moment. I don't know what they're doing.
Well, we're inside the cave, aren't we?
Yeah, I suppose we're trying to figure out what you saw and trying to calm you down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, there is a vast sound, like the sound of rustling paper.
I'm like, the roaches are taking over the
mouth of the cave, and getting louder and louder.
Does the sound anything different? Instead of rustling paper, I have a variety of backgrounds, entomology included.
Giant grasshopper wings.
Well, yeah, it sounds like wings. The fluttering of wings. Yes.
Like the skittering of insects.
Could be.
Throwing that out there.
All right. So as soon as we start hearing the noise, and as soon as Peter probably starts freaking out more, I say that we help him open up this here this big old thing. And we yep. What do you guys say to that?
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go.
Okay, well, just as you open it up, this cloud of insects swarms into the cave. I would like you all to make a dodge roll.
From the door or from the other side?
From the mouth of the cave. The dodge roll is to see whether you can get into the other section of the cave.
Nope, I'm in no
it's
condition.
It's just half our deck, right?
Do I need a roll too?
No, you'll roll in a moment.
You ran away.
Okay.
I failed.
91.
Oh my god, I'm the only one that got in?
Okay, and hang on.
I'm a big guy. Stuff. Oh. Yeah.
One of the bearers and Dr. Morton make it inside and shut the door. You don't even know what Dr. Morton, you don't even have a clue what's happened to them. You didn't bother even turning to look around. You just dived inside.
Yeah, and as soon as I dived in, they're probably screaming. I roll it closed.
I probably ran to the big insect, fell on my knees and said, "Please, I'm sorry for killing all your people back at home in Texas."
All three of you have exactly the same experience. The insect flies towards you and then disappears. And you have a moment of absolute peace and tranquility for just a moment. And then, like Dr. Chase, you have this horrifying vision of flying over this nightmarish landscape. All your visions are different in different ways. You see different aspects of this thing. But it's still the same place, and you still end up coming to this same point where you just reach this great yellow and black burning nuclear ball, and you're aware of just thousands, millions of these insects swarming endlessly around this great fiery nuclear explosion that almost looks like an eye. Looks like the eye of Sauron.
Oh, I was going to say that. Is it like the eye of Sauron?
Which leaves Dr. White.
There.
Dr. White, you are running... in terror.
I'm going to run as fast as I can, as far as I can.
Okay, I would like you to make a dodge roll, please.
Oh, okay. No, I don't.
I'm afraid the same thing happens to you. You feel this really weird sensation in the back of your head. For a moment, like you're being brushed, and then nothing, and then a wonderful feeling of joy and peacefulness, followed by abject terror. And then just this endless dream. Which leaves Dr. Morton as the only survivor. And in the morning at dawn, you and the one bearer find your way out into the clearing. There's no sign of any of the other members of the party, no sign of the other bearers, no sign of Wepu. Even the tents and the supplies have gone. The tree things, whatever they were, have gone. And the two of you together trace your steps down. He's able to catch a little food here and there and find sources of water. And you find yourselves down in the village. And as you trudge back down to the valley, you start feeling horribly, horribly sick. You look across at the bearer is also sweating profusely. And every now and then, the two of you stop and one has to lean on the other. And just as the village is in sight, you collapse to your knees. Second to the stomach, vomiting blood. Just almost in sight of salvation, but never quite there. And that was what became of the Miskatonic expedition to Papua New Guinea.
Outstanding.
Damn it! I was this close!
That was very good.
That was good. That was awesome. That was great.
You really, really, really did a good job there, Mick. That was fucking terrifying.
Well done.
Nice. Well done.
I'm pretty sure there was nothing we could have done to survive that.
I love a film when the good guys don't make it out.
We need bug spray.
Not going in the cave would have been a good idea.
Well, not continuing would have been a good idea.
Okay, our players included Jen Coulter, Corey Heisted, Sean Little, Thomas McKeon, Jeff Wilkins, and myself with Mick Swan as the Keeper of the Secrets. Our musical intro, Birch Run Primal, was composed by our good friend Kevin MacLeod and is used royalty-free under a Creative Commons attribution license. We're currently producing 4 shows a week with music and sound effects added in post-production in order to create a richer listener experience. We provide audio-only versions of our shows free for you to download from Podbean or iTunes. Patrons of our show can now enjoy recordings of our pre- and post-game conversations. Some of the funniest and most interesting stuff occurs before and after the show. If you'd like to become a patron, visit our Patreon account. Just a few dollars a month will help us a great deal. Like, share, and subscribe to our channel for updates on our latest shows, and leave us some comments. We'd love hearing from you. This is Tom Rayleigh, together with all the members of our gaming club, inviting you to journey with us once again into the darkness for another adventure into the universe of H.P. Lovecraft and the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Until next time, good luck and good gaming.